There are several different definitions of engagement and a lot of confusion surrounding what engagement is. Can you please provide your best definition of it?
When I talk about and sort of evangelize employee engagement, to me, it's the feeling of emotional commitment to the organization we work for and its goals. It's this emotional feeling that we care about the company and its goals. And I think where some of the misunderstanding comes in is that a lot of people think employee engagement means, you know, we're trying to make workplace fun and everyone happy. And I'm not against fun or happiness. But sometimes when you're engaged, you know, you might feel a little tension or stress. You know, it's not about balloons, parties, and picnics. It's about, you know, caring about the mission of the organization and its goals. And it also gets confused with employee satisfaction, which is similar but doesn't raise the bar high enough, because there's a lot of people who are satisfied at work, but they're still going to take that headhunter phone call, go on that job interview if it means they can, you know, make 5 or 10% more pay. So engagement is really, you know, that caring beyond the paycheck, beyond the perks, caring about what the organization's trying to accomplish.
How do you measure engagement? How can you determine whether your employees are engaged? Alternatively, what is not effective in measuring engagement?
Well, I mean, I think the classic way, which I do think is effective, is employee surveys, asking questions that are really proxy questions to get at engagement. Because if engagement is a feeling, you know, we can't x-ray each other to sort of see like what our engagement level is on the inside. So we have to ask questions that kind of get at that. I once wrote an article, comparing measuring engagement to, you know, measuring how much we are in love with our, you know, husband, wife, or significant other. And, you know, there's no scientific way to look inside of us and see our love-o-meter is at a 10 versus a 5 or whatever it is. But if I asked you questions about, if you're married, and I asked you whether you would recommend to your best friends that they also get married, you know, the odds are if you're still madly in love with your spouse, you'd be more likely to recommend marriage, you know, to your friends. If you're really satisfied in your marriage, you're probably less likely to be thinking about, you know, cheating with other people. And that in the business world is the same correlation as am I likely to refer my friends and family members to come and work at this company? And how often am I thinking about looking to get a job elsewhere, you know, cheating on my employer? So, you know, it's just the classic employee surveys that use good questions that are proxy questions at these emotional feelings. Sometimes companies don't survey at all, and other times they survey, but they never really ask those kinds of questions. So you need both.
You say that engagement comes from the ground up and that employees and frontline managers are the key. How do you work this with the more traditional top-down approach seen in many organizations?
Well, the reason why most organizations fail at their engagement efforts is that they'll do the survey, but just as you suggested, those survey results are sort of only shared at the highest levels of the company. Or even if they're shared throughout, the ideas for improvement only come from the top level of the company. So let's say the survey suggests that communication is the weakest item, you know, on the survey. That's the thing that we have we should focus on the most. You know, the traditional top-down approach is that, you know, the head of HR will tell the CEO, oh, you need to send out, you know, your newsletter every month instead of every quarter. That's going to improve communication. You know, it's these kinds of ideas. The grassroots says, listen, we're going to do the survey. Every manager, she gets her own scores, sees how she compared to the rest of the company. So there's none of this blaming like, you know, well, it's not my fault they're disengaged. We have a crummy healthcare plan, or we had a bad quarter, or the CEO is a jerk. Well, when you all have the same jerk CEO and the same benefits, and the same everything. Y'all had the same bad quarter, and yet you're below average. Well, then other people are finding ways in your company to still, you know, get higher results. So every manager needs to get his or her own score, see how it compares to the other managers. And then the ideas for improvement, if I'm told, if I'm a manager and my lowest score is communication, I need to have that action plan meeting with my own team and say, hey, listen, you know, we need to do a better job on communication. That's clearly what you're, you know, what we're all saying in this survey. What would great communication look like on our team? And, you know, that, and you can obviously see how, unlike the frequency of the CEO newsletter, even if everybody in a company had communication as the lowest item, which is unlikely, but let's say they did, you know, improving communication in the IT department might look different than improving it in the sales department. You know, the issues, what the failures of communication and what that means will be different department to department, team to team. So you've got to just push those scores down and ask the teams to come up with their own solutions.
In your opinion, how does engagement tie into safety?
Yeah, it ties directly into safety. And you know, anecdotally, the companies that call me in the most to help them with their results or to do talks, whatever, are the ones where safety is paramount. So it's, you know, numerous hospitals and healthcare systems who are trying to reduce medical errors and patient slip and falls and avoidable infection rates because somebody, you know, forgot to change a catheter or something like that. It's the elevator companies. It's the Union Pacific Railroad who, you know, makes safety job one and then knows that an engaged team member is going to be one who basically cares. So, you know, if I show up at work engaged, I'm going to be more mindful of my environment. I'm going to care more about the safety procedures around me, you know, whether that's wearing a hard hat on site or whether it's, you know, tying off to the pole when I'm doing repairs, whether it's not looking at my cell phone while walking down the tracks, whatever it might be. Obviously, safety is different in each organization, but in organizations where safety is paramount, you know, there's a direct link between engagement and accidents. You know, again, whether it's healthcare, manufacturing, et cetera.
There are studies that show that engaged workforces have significantly lower injury rates. Do you have any theories as to what aspects of employee engagement would be driving these positive safety outcomes? More specifically, can you explain the correlation between engagement or lack of engagement and business measures?
Yeah, the connector is called just discretionary effort. So, when you are engaged, you're exhibiting discretionary effort in all aspects of your job. So, you know, that does mean like you'll sell a little harder if you're a salesperson. You'll be a little more patient and provide better service as a service professional. But it also means you're going to care about the safety goal of the organization. You're going to care about the policies and procedures, the safety procedures and requirements of the job. So that extra effort goes into all areas, including safety goals and mindfulness around safe practices.
Through all of the research and writing you've done on the topic of employee engagement, what has been the biggest aha moment for you where you discovered something counterintuitive, highly insightful, or impactful?
Well, I think my aha moment was actually the personal impact that engagement has, spillover and crossover effect. The fact that the people who are disengaged at work, you know, have lower marital quality than people who are engaged at work is pretty mind-blowing. The fact that people who are disengaged at work, their children are more likely to misbehave in school. I mean, that was really hard for me to believe, that like my mood about work has some impact tomorrow on what my kids are doing at school. It's just that, you know, our emotions, as much as we wish we could bottle them up and keep them at work, it doesn't work that way. So when we come home from a bad day at work or we're disengaged, you know, we're more likely to ignore or to even, you know, yell at our family members. And they in turn internalize that, and they'll withdraw or they will act out in their own way in the next day or two. So I think that was the part that surprised me most.
In your experience, what do you feel has been the most impactful way of getting leaders inspired to work on and improve engagement?
Well, I don't think it's a mystery. It's just that you have to make it a priority for them. So we're all so, you know, overworked and overwhelmed and doing more with less. And so if a manager's quarterly objectives, annual bonus is tied to, you know, volume output, you know, number of units or number of sales or producing certain reports in less time, and that's it, that's going to be what they spend most of their time thinking about and working on. When you actually then include, hey, by the way, you're also going to be measured on and compensated partly on your employee engagement results, miraculously, they put more attention on those results and their team engagement improves.
A lot of people confuse engagement and culture. Can you explain the difference between the two?
Well, I think culture can drive engagement. I mean, I think, again, engagement is a feeling we have. Culture is the spoken and unspoken values, rules, and norms that an organization has that, you know, sort of defines what's acceptable behavior.
Do you think there is any one person responsible for engagement at a company?
There's no one person, but the Gallup research is clear that over 70% of the variance in engagement has to do with who our immediate manager is. So the buck really does stop with the frontline manager. You know, it's not the only variable. You know, he or she is not the only one, but the vast majority of engagement comes from our relationship with our boss.
What would be the drivers for engagement?
Yeah, there's in most of the big consulting companies and research companies, you know, they all see about a dozen drivers of engagement. They give them different names. The big ones, again, the ones that get you over 70% of what you need, are growth, recognition, and trust. Growth is, you know, we all want to be learning and doing challenging work and advancing in our careers. Recognition is just feeling appreciated by our boss and our peers. And trust isn't really, I'm not talking about ethical trust. That's sort of the low bar to jump over. This is the need to trust that our leadership has a plan for the future. Like, the future is bright. You know, we know where we're going. We've got a good leadership team that's taken us there. So it's trust in the future. It's really a future confidence. So when you do growth, recognition, and trust right, you know, you will get over 70% of what you need in terms of driving, you know, those feelings of engagement.
Once you have garnered a good level of engagement, is it something that companies need to continually strive to maintain? Or does it tend to sustain itself once the organizational framework has been developed?
Well, I think it's, you know, you need managers who have developed habits of engaging leadership. So, you know, that includes you know, saying thank you when it's deserved and showing recognition when it's deserved. It means having giving effective feedback, both positive and constructive, always. It means reminding everyone of the mission of the company, the big, hairy, audacious goal of the company, all the way down to the annual or quarterly objectives. If you stop working with people on their growth and development, if you stop recognizing people, if you stop talking about the future, then engagement will drop. You need to really continuously do all three of those things.
Speaking of the company's vision, mission, how does that factor into their engagement?
Yeah, there's no data that I'm aware of that a mission statement or a vision statement, you know, the thing on the wall, has any impact on engagement. What has an impact on engagement is when we know what the future plan is. Like, where are we going? What is the plan? And we believe we're getting there. So it's less about the mission statement and more about, is my manager, is the leadership talking about it, reinforcing it, laying it out. You know, it's something that needs to be done over and over again. You can never over communicate, you know, that strategic plan or priority.
Could this be compared to safety messages like a vision mission statement that comes from the top? If the company decides we want zero injuries or safety is all, but they don't actually have the workers involved in the creation of the safety messaging or in the creation of the values and mission, then the workers are not really feeling that they contributed to it, and so they're not engaged in it.
You know, we kind of a leadership fundamental is, you know, we will fight for and protect the things that we have built ourselves. So the more that this is, you know, my company, not just your company, the more likely it is that I will be engaged and do all the right things and care about safety. So I think one way to do that is to help in the creation of those goals, help in the dissemination of those safety goals. I mean, the more you can get the team members involved, the better.
Is there a difference between engaging the younger generation and the older generation of the more tenured staff? If so, what must be done differently to bridge the gap between the two?
Yeah, you know, managing and engagement with the generations has been like such an in-demand topic over the last couple years, and yet I have still not seen one piece of evidence that there's any generational differences. What you do see is an age difference or a tenure difference. So the 20-somethings, for example, care more about growth and development than people who are in their 30s, 40s, or 50s. People who are in their 50s care more about recognition than anyone in their 40s or 30s or 20s. Now, is it because they come from different generations? No. It's because when we all are in our 20s, we're just starting our careers up, so that's the time where we do want to learn and develop and to, you know, be hard charging and all that. When we're in our 50s or 60s, we're less interested. Doesn't mean we have no interest, but we're less interested in learning new skills for the next, you know, decade or two. But we want people to recognize that, you know, we just put in a solid decade at this company, or look what I've done for this company thus far. We care a little bit more about recognition in our final few years. So it's more of an age thing than a generational thing.
If employees become disengaged, is it really hard to re-engage workers?
Yeah, so there's a subtlety in the answer in that there really isn't just engaged and disengaged. There's levels of engagement, and if you go to, again, I think kind of gold standard Gallup, you know, they have three buckets. So there's engaged, there's disengaged, but most people are in the middle, just not engaged. You know, they're not all in, and they're not actively disengaged. In most organizations, that most negative group, actively disengaged, is around 10%. You know, maybe it's 8%, maybe it's 14%, something like that. It's very, very difficult to ever get that lowest group of disengaged people engaged. They're the opposite. So it means they don't like the company. They don't like the company's goals. They don't like the company's mission. They would never tell anybody to apply for a job there. They are actively looking for a job elsewhere. It would be really hard to move them all the way to the other side. However, in most organizations, the bulk of your employee base, probably 50%, give or take, is going to be just the not engaged. So not disengaged, but not engaged. And that's the group that you can move. Again, it's more about, and they're going to cluster. They're going to cluster around average managers. And so you get the average managers to start doing some of these, you know, leading for engagement habits, leading for engagement behaviors, and you can move that middle group into the engaged group at the higher end.